Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to this special edition Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show. Good morning, everyone. FIFA Under 20 World Cup second round matchup review show. As the United States, yes, the United States, they have demolished New Zealand by a final of 6-0. Who would have thought it? And joining me right now from GotSoccer.com, my colleague Peter Nolan joins me. Peter, you know, what can you say about this performance, especially in the second half where the United States gets a goal and probably playing their best soccer so far in this tournament, and then in that second half, they just put a beat down on New Zealand that we never thought we'd ever see like this?
Yes. Good morning, Dan. Well, obviously, from the U.S. point of view, you know, it's a rare blowout for the American side. It's kind of like watching the U.S. women play a CONCACAF team. But New Zealand obviously was, you know, not quite, you know, one of the better teams there. And you know, when they finally got that first goal, you know, you're also worried if, from the U.S. point of view, that you're letting the team hang around. But then they get those two quick goals in the second half. I think it more or less finished it, and then it was just party time from there.
It really was. And you know, that first goal, that opening goal, we thought Justin Glad actually got the ball. I thought maybe a seeing eye soccer ball beat the keeper, but Josh Sargent, who has been unbelievable in this tournament, going from Glad to Sargent, fourth goal in 3 matches in the Under 20 World Cup, and apparently Peter, he's not done when this tournament ends, depending on how far the USA goes, because he'll be joining the U.S. Under-17s in India in that tournament. And that would be something special to see Josh Sargent do, maybe the first U.S. youth player to be in both the Under-17s and the Under-20s.
Well, that all depends on whether or who he signs with as a pro. I mean, I know he can't sign in Europe until he's 18, which I think is a few months away yet. But there have been rumors about him going to Germany. So, you know, we'll have to see where he ends up. He's quite a player.
Yeah. Oh, he's been fabulous so far. I mean, you can't stop raving about Josh Sargent in this tournament because it's just amazing to see the gamble that Tab Ramos actually took to bring him over. I mean, you talk about the development of some of these kids that could have taken that spot, and Ramos said, no, I want to take Sargent. There's something about this kid I like. I think he can handle the spotlight of an age group 3 years, or at least, yeah, 3 years ahead of him. And my God, he's just been unbelievable so far. It's just been great to watch.
Oh, it really is. And you have to love the way he just seems to make a little bit of room for himself. The one where he can receive a ball and make a turn when he's well covered, presumably, and then somehow he gets that ball and he just makes a turn and he's free all of a sudden. And I think not a lot of U.S. players can really do that around the box. It's you know, it's very impressive.
It really, really is. And then in the start of the second half, we saw New Zealand trying to become dangerous, trying to become a threat for the U.S. And there was that one moment where you thought that they were going to be level, and that shot just goes wide. I mean, I thought Jonathan Klinsmann had a good beat on that ball. But it did just bounce wide of the back post, and that would be the end of that. Nothing much New Zealand can do.
Yeah, it was a very good chance, and the kid missed it pretty badly. But, you know, there's that thing, though. The U.S. is clearly the better team, and if they let that goal, if they scored a goal there, it's 1-1, and anything can happen. So U.S.
Exactly.
Made them pay when they did give them a let-off.
Yes, they did. And how about the 2 goals within 2 minutes? Jeremy Ebobise, that's how you pronounce it. That's what I've been watching on Twitter as well. You want to make sure you pronounce these names correctly, Peter.
Sure.
Jeremy Ebobise, what a strike from him to make it 2-0, because it looked like he shielded the defender and he made a turnaround rip and went top shelf. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we didn't see from Ebobise in the CONCACAF tournament, which is kind of why I think we have Sargent here, because, you know, the U.S. that was their weakest link was the forward play in the CONCACAF U-17 tournament. So he got an opportunity today, and you have to love the way he finished that ball. And then, of course, Lennon has been outstanding throughout, and it was nice to see him get a reward with a very nice goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just tucks it past the keeper, goes right inside the back post on the far end from where he took the shot to make it 3-0. And then, of course, Justin Glad, you know, you don't want to see goals taken away from, you know, good kids that have worked hard in this one. But, you know, look, if Sargent didn't have his knee out there, then they wouldn't have changed the scoring. But Justin Glad, he gets a nice header shot in the 76th minute. And I thought it was a good try by Wood to make that save. But you saw the ball. It had plenty of spin. And after Wood made the save, the ball had a good bounce, spun all the way across the goal line to make it 4-0. And, you know, here come the subs, and everything's basically right as rain.
Yeah, and you have to say that it was a very impressive performance by the U.S., considering that they were down four starters. You know, the ref in the previous game against Saudi Arabia was handing out yellow cards like they were Tic Tacs or something. And, you know, just a very bad performance by the ref. And, you know, a player like Justin Glad playing fullback, he's normally a center back for Real Salt Lake, and he was outstanding today. And, you know, he was so good in the CONCACAF tournament. And there's quite a lot of depth on that. I mean, four, Trusty scored a goal, and he's a center back as well, primarily. So that's quite a center back pool with Redding, Carter Vickers, who wasn't able to play, and Palmer Brown, who was outstanding again.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this before we continue on here. And, you know, we've got some great, talented kids right now that Tab Ramos has for the under-20s. And, I mean, it feels like finally, because we all know Bradenton's about to, or if not about to, has already shut down, because the Bradenton has already used its had its usefulness when it comes to developing national team players for the under-20s and the under-17s. But in the age of MLS academies, do we see these kids more advanced now than we have in the past?
Well, I think that's obviously the hope, and that's why they're discontinuing with Bradenton. And, you know, look at there was four or five players from Real Salt Lake there, and, you know, they're all doing very well. I think the Red Bulls' Tyler Adams is a product of their academy, and, you know, there's no other fingerprints on his development. He's straight Red Bulls' development, and he's garnering all sorts of praise, deservedly. So, yeah, I think you're starting to see that, and you would hope that you would see that, and you would hope you'll see more of that.
Yeah, that's the hope right there. And I think the best thing about this match, Peter, no bookings on anyone on the USA squad, because once you go to the quarterfinals, and if you win in the quarterfinals, and they will be facing Venezuela early Sunday morning, this coming Sunday morning, I should say, all yellow cards will be expunged going into the semifinals. So if you really think about it, for Tab Ramos, no bookings at all in this one. It was a clean victory, 6-0 over the USA.
Yes, that's a good point, a very good point. And especially with the U.S. is going to have a two-day less rest than Venezuela, which is a bit of an odd scheduling quirk. But so, you know, they want all hands on deck with that situation. And, you know, they've got to be feeling pretty darn good about themselves right now.
Oh, I would agree with you there. They probably feel really good about themselves. Here's some of the statistics in this one. Possession for USA, advantage 60-40. 19-6 on attempts for the U.S., 10-0 on target for the U.S. on shots off target. four for the USA, five for New Zealand. Blocks, five by the U.S., one by New Zealand. Fouls committed, nine for the U.S., 10 for New Zealand. New Zealand is the only booking of this matchup, but the attacking stats, 10-2 USA on corners. New Zealand three times offside, and that's even a better stat there because the USA were never offside on anything in the attacking third, so that's a fantastic stat right there. USA get advantage on free kicks, 13-9. Four saves being made by the Wood for New Zealand, none for Klinsmann, and that's kind of that's how you want it, I think, Peter. When you're talking about the goalkeeper, I mean, you want your keeper to be active. You don't want him to sit around and waiting for something to happen. But I think if Klinsmann wasn't challenged that much on this one, and most of it went off target, you have to say that for Klinsmann. It's a good day for him, and he'll take the clean sheet whether you like it or not.
Well, one more important stat then was 6-0 U.S.
Now, that's very true. That's very, very true. That's out of all the statistics in world football, obviously the goal, the scoreboard is the most important stat. Trusty in the 84th minute, finally, he had an opportunity to put one in, but it was punched away by the defense, went for a corner, and he scored off the corner anyway right off the bat in the 84th minute. And then Kunga in the third minute of stoppage time made it 6-0. And sadly, Peter, in the world of 7-0 football, we didn't get that today. But it felt like the USA could have had at least 8 or 10 goals in this one.
Yeah, and that's true. It was that sort of a day. But you mentioned Klinsmann, and I think it's interesting. Obviously, he's got a lot of pressure on him, you know, given his lineage. But we haven't really seen him have to have a big game for the U.S. yet. And you would imagine that at some point in a tournament like this, your goalkeeper's going to have to step up. I mean, he's been solid. He had the one terrible giveaway in the first game. But, you know, he's been solid other than that. He bounced back well from that. But at this point, it's hard to know, is he like Zach Steffen level now, who was so impressive in the previous U-20 World Cup? And, you know, is he going to be a player that pushes those kind of players? Or how good is he? So I think maybe against Venezuela, or if they can get any further than that, or they may need to see, you know, a couple of big saves from Klinsmann, which I don't think we've really seen yet.
No, I haven't seen it that much either. And I mean, I've been watching these opening group stage matches. Obviously, the game against Ecuador, he got blitzed really badly. And unfortunately, he kind of did it to himself, too, on that third goal, which made it basically 3-2 for Ecuador. And if you really think about it, if you want to talk about the group, Peter, for the United States, and for them, you know, I would say for Ecuador, that's a big disappointment because they were supposed to be, you know, the best team in the tournament. I think they were supposed to be the ones that are supposed to be going ahead. And then after giving up 2 points to the United States and it ended in a 3-3 draw for a point each, I think Ecuador mentally just fell out of favor.
Yeah, and obviously that the U.S. showed a lot of character in that game to go down 2-0 so quickly and to come back again after the Klinsmann gaffe with the playing the ball out of the back and losing possession, giving away a gift of a goal, and to get a late goal for the U.S. after that. So that was maybe the seeds of showing that this team has you know, quite a lot of heart, and it's quite a talented group as well. So I think Tavo Ramos has done a pretty good job when you look at all the players that were unavailable to him, and they've still obviously they're in the quarterfinals now, so well done.
Exactly, and all I can say is, well, let me ask you this then, if you don't mind me asking. Do you think if, let's just say, when Bruce Arena is done with his second quick restart with the U.S. men's national team, and obviously he's not going to come back after Russia if the USA qualifies for Russia for next summer, would you say maybe Tab Ramos could be the heir to the senior men's national team as the head coach?
Well, that's a tough one to know. I mean, you'd have to see what Sunil Gulati is thinking on that. But he started, I believe, his first U-20 tournament was 2013, and it didn't go so well, and people weren't too sure about him. But, you know, he's put in his time. I mean, you have to give him that. But is coaching the U-20s enough of a background to step into the senior international? I'm not sure. He hasn't coached. He hasn't been a manager of a club team at any level, and so we'll have to see. But he's put in the work, and obviously he's well regarded within U.S. soccer. So we'll see. But I would think he'd want to go somewhere and coach an MLS team or something first, But we'll see what happens there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. So here are some of the results, obviously, in the second round. I think this is a big upset, if you think about it, Peter, because the way that France has been dominating their group, especially the last game they dominated, they lose to Italy 2-1. That to me, that's a shocker. Even though I think that the Germans were probably not as good as many people thought they were. They lose to Zambia 4-3 in extra time. Mexico with a 1-0 victory over Senegal, who has also been a tough opponent in the same group for the U.S. in Group F. And England defeating Costa Rica 2-1. And so on that side of the bracket in the quarterfinals on June 5th, we're going to have Italy taking on Zambia. We're going to have Mexico taking on England. 3-1 Portugal over the hosts in South Korea. Uruguay defeating Saudi Arabia 1-0. Saudi Arabia was a bit of a surprise, but, I didn't know how much more they could have done, to be honest. And Portugal will be taking on Uruguay in the quarters. Venezuela, of course, will be facing the United States. They defeat Japan 1-0 in extra time. So let's just go straight to that quarterfinal matchup. Venezuela, would you say a surprise advancing to the quarterfinals, or do you think that they have some good talent on this squad and it'll give maybe Klinsmann that challenge you were asking for?
Well, I'd be lying to you if I said I knew an awful lot about the Venezuela U-20 team then, but they've gotten the results. The commentators were mentioning there that they did have that 1-7 win over Vanuatu, I think so you say that. But of course, Vanuatu gave Mexico a fright in the first game and very nearly tied them. I think they gave up a 94th-minute goal to Mexico to lose that first game. So you do get some funny results at the underage levels. It's not as cut and dry as you kind of expect with the senior teams. So, I don't know an awful lot about the Venezuelan team, but you have to be confident with the U.S. team. They're going to be bringing back their full team, other than obviously Zalem is out for the tournament. But they've got some good options now with the team back in full strength, primarily, and very good defense. Midfield is getting forward well, and starting to keep scoring goals. So, you can't dismiss the U.S. chances here.
So let me ask you this. I don't want to throw this at you. I know you were watching the penalty kick shootout between the U.S. and Serbia in the last Under-20 World Cup. I'm not saying we're going to have that again, but if it does happen, we'll see. But let me just ask you this. Do you think Tab Ramos wants not so much a little revenge, because it's going to be a different opponent, even though Serbia eventually became Under-20 champions, but do you think personally that Tab Ramos wants to try and do a lot better in this quarterfinal matchup than he did in the last one? Not saying it was a terrible match. It was entertaining. The saves were unbelievable. The penalty kick shootout was crazy. I think that went more than 10 rounds, obviously. I think it went like maybe 13 or 14. But do you think Tab Ramos, on a personal level, wants to do better in this quarterfinals for himself?
Well, of course he would, but I think that was a pretty good performance. And I always think of whoever wins a penalty kick contest, I think it's just a roll of the dice, to be honest with you. I think it's an awful way to decide a game. I don't know what other way there is to decide a game, so that's how you decide games. But, it's the old thing with development versus results with underage, with the U-20s. And, really, the most important thing is, how many of these players go on to be, good players, maybe contribute to the full senior team, full national team. But, having said all that, you get this far, you want to win, right? And Eric Palmer Brown is the captain. He predicted that, he said this team is good enough to win it all. And that's the attitude you want to have. And, of course, you know, with France being eliminated, not to look too far ahead, but it just shows you that you know, these things can happen. So for a country like the U.S., I think winning a U20 would be huge, because, you know, we don't have a history of that sort of success of actually winning these kind of tournaments. So, you know, it certainly sets it up for a very exciting game for Sunday, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
No, we'll definitely see what's going to happen there. It's going to be very exciting to watch. I know, personally, I cannot wait for this to happen. I think they're going to give Venezuela a run for their money trying to get to the semifinals. I'm trying to remember, though, probably before I started following the game on a personal level and on a dedicated level, I should say. I think they've been to the semifinals in the past. I think when it was Casey Keller was the keeper for the under-20s, and I think he had I don't remember who he had, actually, but I've heard, I think it's Casey Keller's side that was the last USA squad to get to the semifinals of the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. So that was like in the late 80s, I believe, late 80s, early 90s, somewhere around there. But still, though, you got to say that if this crop of young, talented players gets to the semifinals, if they beat Venezuela, they match the Casey Keller side. And I got to tell you, Peter, it's going to be unbelievable when that happens, when it does.
Well, sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of – I think we in the U.S. put a lot of attention on these underage tournaments, because we're always looking for that team that's going to break through on the senior level. And sometimes I think the European teams don't take the U-20s as seriously. But, you know, I think it would be a huge feather if this team get to the semifinal, or possibly even better. So I'm looking forward to Sunday, and you know, I wouldn't bet against this team at the moment.
Nope, me neither. And here's a funny thing now, if you think about it here, Peter, and I just saw this on Twitter. Saturday night, 10 o'clock Eastern time, 8 o'clock Mountain, on Saturday night, June the 3rd, you are going to see the senior sides as the United States are going to host Venezuela at Rio Tinto Stadium in a friendly before these World Cup qualifiers begin for the U.S. between Trinidad and Tobago and at Mexico. And then a couple hours later, at 2 in the morning, you are going to see Venezuela taking on the United States in the Under-20 World Cup quarterfinals. That is unbelievable, and how about the timing of that?
Yeah, that's quite fortuitous. It's not like one of the biggest rivalries that you would ever talk about with the U.S. against Venezuela, but, you know, maybe a little excitement on Saturday and Sunday, and it could blossom into something.
Yeah, it really could, and it should be exciting to watch, and I personally cannot wait to see what's going to happen here. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Real quick, Peter, let's just talk about the other three quarterfinal matches. Of course, Portugal-Uruguay, which will be on after USA-Venezuela on Sunday, June 4th. How do you see that one ending up?
Yeah, well, Portugal and Uruguay, you have to love that matchup. A couple of these sort of established powers getting together, and you know, it's a mouth-watering kind of a game, and we'll just a little have to sit back and enjoy that one too.
No, absolutely. And then the other two quarterfinals, we have Italy versus Zambia. Now, we all know some of these African nation teams, they're hard to predict, and you don't know which one's going to show up, but I mean, Italy looks like they'll be prepared. Do we see Italy advancing, or do you think Zambia is going to surprise them?
Well, Zambia has been in one of those surprise teams of the tournament, but they came in with a pretty good reputation, haven't done well in the African championship. And they won a thriller against Germany, and they don't seem to be the type of team to back down. So, yeah, they should be fun. And of course, Italy knocked off everyone's favorite, which was France, and again, that's sets up for another excellent game.
Yeah, it really does. And then, of course, here's the big one. I think I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse, obviously, because I'm already thinking about maybe a CONCACAF final if it does happen. But I don't want to put the cart before the horse. But we have England taking on Mexico, and usually you don't hear much about the English when it comes to these youth tournaments. You don't hear them making any noise. I have a funny feeling they're starting to make some noise. Do you think maybe all the hoping of producing these youth players are finally coming to fruition for the English, or do you think Mexico is just too dominant for them?
Well, Mexico hasn't been dominant in this tournament. They had needed a late goal today, or yesterday, whenever that game was, to get into the quarterfinal. They, as I said earlier, they needed a 94th minute goal to beat Vanuatu in the first game. And but it's interesting about England. When they won their first game of this tournament, I can't remember who they even played, but it was the first time they had scored a goal in the U20 tournament in 20 years, in the U20 World Cup in 20 years. I think the previous goal scorer for England had been Michael Owen. So that's a while ago. So who knows?
Yeah,
maybe England maybe England has a little bit of magic in them this time. And Mexico's been just about sneaking through. So that doesn't seem like that would be a terrible big upset at this point. But you know, Mexico's had a pretty good record at the underage levels and won the Olympics not too long ago. So that should be another good game.
It should be, and hopefully we'll have another good game there. But Peter, finally. 6-0 for the United States. They get a touchdown on New Zealand. They could not enough time for the extra point, but still, though, I think we're finally seeing what's happening here with the United States. We're seeing great play. We're seeing well-worked goals being converted. We're seeing just tremendous football being played by the United States, and it just feels like it's finally coming at the right time here for the kids, especially with Todd Ramos leading the charge from the bench.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there, Dan. And, they're very solid defensively with, the likes of Palmer Brown and Carter Vickers and Justin Glad. And, it's nice to see Tom Redding get back there and bounce back from a tough first game. So they're very solid defensively. They've got some good midfield play and, with Lennon helping out up top with, helping out from the wing and Delatorre, another clever player. And, of course, the kid scoring the goals, Josh Sargent.
Absolutely. Peter, thank you again so much. I will hopefully see you at Red Bull Arena for the Open Cup match against New York City FC on the 14th. And I will talk to you next time, and thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Take care.
No problem. Take care. And that is Peter Nolan of from GotSoccer.com, as once again the United States in a amazing dominating performance takes out New Zealand by a final of 6-0. Not a 7-up match, but that's okay. We've seen the U.S. do some wonderful things, the winning 6-0 like against Honduras with Bruce Arena's first World Cup qualifier back as manager, head coach of the U.S. men's national team. But they will be playing on Sunday, Venezuela, in the quarterfinals of the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. So let's see what happens. Let's see what's going to go on here. And, guys, thank you for hanging out with me this early morning. And hopefully, we will see the United States coming out like gangbusters and try to advance to the semifinals once again this Sunday morning at 2:00 Eastern as the United States will take on Venezuela. I want to thank my guest, Peter Nolan of GotSoccer.com for joining me this early morning. Thank you for those of you who are joining me this early morning. You could also catch the replay of this one later on, right away, whenever you wake up, just come here on Twitter. Come to blogtalkradio.com/Feuerstein's Fire. Don't forget, also, iTunes as well. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you for joining me. Once again, your final score in the second round of the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. United States 6, New Zealand 0. And join me tomorrow night, 8:00 Eastern, 5:00 Pacific, U.S. Open Cup Round 3 review. There will be recording with the head coach, Larry Sancombe, of Christos FC, as they do the impossible once again. My name is Daniel Feuerstein once again. Thank you very much for listening. As always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good morning, everybody. And talk to you tomorrow night. Bye-bye for now.